Philippians chapter 3, let's read some verses together, shall we? Philippians chapter number 3. And I'm going to sort of continue something that we've spoken on not too long ago in Philippians chapter 3, sort of conclude it, verse 9. It says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Father, please help us tonight, please, to hear your word and these wonderful words of life that apply to every single believer in this room. May we understand the reason for which we're here tonight and hearing what the Spirit has to say to your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to look again. This is an unusual statement we read a moment ago by Paul, which all by itself, just for its wonder, far as I'm concerned, testifies that it was made under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." That's quite a mouthful. Now look at verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before." All right, three times. Actually, there's four. If you include the same word in the Greek, the root word for attain, the Apostle Paul uses this wonderful, intriguing word, apprehend. "Not as though I had already attained." And then he says, "But if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, I count not myself to have apprehended." Four times. You say, "Pastor, what does all of that mean?" Well, I tell you what we could do is refer to the Greek root word for attain and apprehend and discover that in its first use in verse 12, you see right there, that's the constative second aorist active indicative of the Greek word lambano. The second time it's used, the condition there is the third class second aorist active subjunctive of katalambano. And then the third time it's used, it's the first aorist passive of the same verb. And then in verse 13, it's katalamphano, it's the perfect active indicative case of the same verb. We could look at all of that, get a headache and fall asleep or something. Or we can just look at what Paul says, because what he says in verse 12 explains clearly, and I think very simply, with the use of a metaphor, what he's talking about. Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, Paul is talking about a race, right? He's talking about a foot race. The word lambano was almost always used in the Grecian games known as the Olympics. And it literally means to take hold, just like I would take hold of this microphone, which I'm going to show you later towards the message, why it means that. And of course, this epistle was written to Christians in Philippi. Remind you that that happened to be the home. That happened to be the chief city of Macedonia, the namesake of Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. And as such, Philippi was the major center for the training and the recruitment of the game's greatest runners. Philippi was to the Olympic runners what Kentucky and Indiana are to basketball, and what Alabama is to NCAA football. Okay, Clemson is now to NCAA football. Now, Paul knew this, and so he knows his audience, and though thus utilizing a familiar Philippian application of the Greek word apprehend, he presents some of the greatest spiritual truths about our Christian life in all of the Bible. Philippians chapter 3 is, for the most part, an example of Paul sharing his own personal testimony of salvation and then service for God. In the first part of this chapter, remember, he talks about his past and all of the things according to the flesh he could glory in if he wanted to, if he was inclined to. In verse 5, for example, he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, zealous, touching the law, blameless, and so it goes. But of course, for Paul, all of these worldly, fleshly things were not the things that he wanted to remember or glory in. In fact, just the opposite. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. You know, you can't run a race looking backward, right? So he's running a race. He's talking about a race. It brings us to these powerful truths here about this race, your Christian life, described in this word apprehend. And again, it's a word that literally means to take hold, to grab a hold of something. The first truth you'll notice, number one, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken hold or apprehended you. Look at verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now follow this carefully, because even though the Apostle Paul is using a metaphor in this text, the Olympics, the motif, it's very important to notice that he does so in perfect theological order. And when it comes to salvation, it is always important to follow the biblical order. And so Paul says what? He says, I'm running a race, and all you believers in Philippi are running a race. I'm pressing toward the mark. I am striving to apprehend something. But let me tell you how I got into this race. Let me tell you what happened first that put me on this track and running. And he says, what? I am apprehended. I've been grabbed a hold of. I am apprehended of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, one day the Lord Jesus saw me, a sinner, and he took hold of me. We talk about a policeman apprehending a suspect. What do we mean? They grab them. They take them. And I'm telling you, when I was 12 years of age, I heard the gospel. And the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God, apprehended me. The Holy Spirit took a hold of me. And in essence, he said, James Blaylock, remain silent. Anything you say will be held against you in a court of law. You now have the option as a sinner to speak to an attorney. And since you can't afford an advocate, a mediator, one has been provided for you. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And what happened to me? What happened to you? Verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, Paul says, I did not get into this race because of all my good deeds. Again, when Paul looked at all of his good stuff, all of his right self-righteousness, his good works, what did he say in verse 8? I count them. He counted them up. But what did he count them? As dung. But when Paul says this, Jesus Christ apprehended me. When he apprehended me, when the Lord Jesus took hold of me, I placed my faith in him, and no longer having mine own righteousness, the scripture says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God, he put me in this race. And beloved, this is the divine order. First, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, apprehends you. First, you become a child of God by faith. You know, by the way, those of you who know what I'm talking about tonight, aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that one day the Holy Spirit of God stopped you in your tracks when you were walking or running on your way to hell forever, and the Word of God took a hold of your heart? And when you trusted Him, the Lord Jesus apprehended you. He took you in both of His arms. We love Him, John said, because He first loved us. Chapter 1, 6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you. He did the good work. He began it. But wait a minute, because the Apostle Paul understood something that a lot of folks these days never seem to understand about the Christian life. Verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Let me ask you a question. If the Apostle Paul At the very moment that he is writing the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing from a prison cell to a church that he started in another prison cell with a Philippian jailer, demonstrating his great faithfulness. If this godly missionary, evangelist, pastor cannot write in verse 12 that he had obtained, if he can't write that he had reached as high as you go, that he had arrived as a Christian, then how is it that I have attained anything? I haven't even built a hot dog stand for the glory of God compared to this man. How can you and I ever say, okay, we're good. We're where we ought to be as a Christian. Paul did not say that. He didn't have that attitude. Just a reminder that none of us have arrived. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? He's saying, number one, Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, number two, I am called to take hold of him. In other words, if you're saved tonight, A, Jesus apprehended you. Now, B, you're supposed to apprehend his goal for you. He apprehended you, put you in the race. Now it's your calling, and it's a high calling, to apprehend his goal for your life. Pastor, what's the goal? Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we said earlier that the Greek word for apprehend was used in those Olympic games, right? You know why that is? The word mark there in verse 14 is a reference to the finish line. Here's how a runner in the Grecian games finished his course. And they would understand this as he spoke to them. First, here's a little runner, okay? He's put into the race. He is placed into this race to represent all that nation, all that area. And in the case of the Apostle Paul and you and me tonight, we were apprehended of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and put in. Then he was told, this runner in Greece was told to run. And run with patience the race set before him, because this race is a marathon that the Olympics were famous for. 26.2 miles, not a 50-yard dash. Now, he's running. At the end of the race, there was a mark. This mark was basically like a pole. Usually it had some ribbon or something attached to it. And it was a stick at the end of the race. And the runner would strive to be the first one to go and apprehend. Grab a hold of that stake, that pole, that it was at the end of the race, and grabbing it. He would hold it. He was striving to apprehend. And when he finished the victor, he would take hold. Catalabano. He would take hold and he would grab that mark. And then, when he apprehended that mark, he received the prize. The mark was not the prize. The prize was a wreath. It was a garland, if you will, made out of olive leaves, and sometimes olive leaves and flowers. That was by design to show the fleeting nature of fame. So Paul says what? Remember what he said? They run to obtain a corruptible crown. It's not going to last long. But we, he said, we run because we have an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run. Now you say, Pastor, what is the mark for the prize in the high calling of Christ in the Christian life? What is it that Paul is striving to apprehend, to take hold of throughout his race? Well, he really tells us, I press, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, this mark representing the prize is a high calling. This is a heavenly thing. This is a spiritual thing. Paul's not running to obtain or to apprehend money. Paul wasn't pressing toward the mark for the low calling of prosperity, for the low calling of fame, or driving a fancy car, or having your own private jet, or worldly success. In fact, you realize that actually those are the weights in Hebrews chapter 12 that can distract us from the race? It's pretty amazing when you think about it, beloved, how modern prosperity preachers have taken the weights and the besetting sins and the things that God calls the distractions from the race, and they've made those the prize. Those are what you're going after: wealth and prosperity and success and real estate. You realize if that's the thing you're supposed to grab a hold of, and that's exactly what they preach and teach, then Paul was a failure, because he's writing this from a prison cell. And I remind you that at the end of his race, he's still in a prison cell. And his last breath was taken when his head was decapitated, being from that prison cell. He has nothing in this race and at the end of this race as far as the world is concerned. So what is it? What's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? And the real reason that the Lord Jesus took a hold of you. He took a hold of you. And he put you in this race. Why? Well, we said earlier, number one, Jesus apprehended you, so now you apprehend him. Right? Well, here's what this means. He tells us what it means. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, read it in all, you'll understand that the mark is knowing him, knowing his power, knowing his will, knowing his word. See, when Paul says that I may know him, you realize he knew Christ. Of course he did. But as he said, he had not attained. He had not yet, he neither was perfect, he said. He had not apprehended that for which he was apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know God. He didn't serve God like he wanted to. Do you? Do you know him like you want to? Have you attained and apprehended yet? When he writes Timothy from the Mamertine prison, long after this, in those days, he writes, I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, so that there, just about ready to take hold of the mark, he's about to die. So that you see, folks, if you're a Christian tonight, God did not save you just to give you fire insurance from hell. It's not just so you can say, okay, got that taken care of. I know where I'm going to go when I die. That's not why God saved you. He didn't just save you so that you could sleep better at night about your eternity. No, no, no. He apprehended you. He took hold of you and he put you in a race. Not in a lounge chair. In a race. So that you would run with patience, because it's a long race. You would run with patience, pressing for the mark. Pressing, like a runner does. Going for the mark. Striving. Striving now to know him more and more and the power of his resurrection. In other words, that's a life of supernatural victory, including victory over death and sin in your life. This is the high calling that God gives every Christian in this room. And I want to say, beloved, that it is a race worth running. This is a life that is worth living. This is a mark and a prize that is worth grabbing a hold of. Money is not worth spending your life to grab a hold of. Just money. Position, fame, that's what everybody else is running for. That's not worthy of your time and your heart. And it's one of the reasons you must strive all the days of your life. You must strive for this mark. Meaning faithful to his church, faithful to his word, faithful to his will. Why? That you might know him, that you might apprehend, grab a hold of that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for you. You think about it, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know him. Isn't that an amazing thought? The God of glory wants you to know him. He wants you to know his power. He wants you to sometimes even know the fellowship of his sufferings. And not just you, beloved, but others who are around you. And that leads us to the third truth that's right here. We said, number one, the Lord Jesus took a hold of you. Number two, you're supposed to take a hold of him, meaning his power, knowing him, and his will for your life. Truth number three, the Lord Jesus will take hold of others because of you. That's really why we have right now the local New Testament church. Look at chapter 2. I want you to notice the first mention in the metaphor of a race. Chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run, there it is again, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, wait a minute, get this. Paul said that one of the reasons for running the race is that as sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, as lights shining in this world, we hold forth the word of life. There's a difference between Christians and unbelievers. And they see that difference. And the main difference is you're holding forth the word of life. You've ever seen an Olympic runner holding the Olympic torch? He's running and he's holding this light. It represents the corruptible crowns that Paul spoke about. But beloved, the light that you're holding forth as you run the race is the word of life. You are to run with his light going before you. It's everlasting life, this word of life. And you know, one of the reasons why you've got to stay in the race and finish the race is that there are others in this world that the Lord Jesus wants to take hold of. There are others that the Holy Spirit will apprehend as the word of life is being held up by Beacon Baptist Church and by you as a child of the living God. Sometimes beginning with your own family, your own children. Chapter 2 again, look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. You know, Paul is sort of remembering here when he and Timothy were in Troas. And you know, he had a dream, the Macedonian call. And he saw the Philippians in that dream. The Philippians. And others who were saying, come over and help us. And Paul came. And soon Lydia accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the first convert in Europe. And the Philippian jailer, a Roman, a jailer in Philippi, he accepted Christ later. All of these are now in the race themselves. And all of which were now part of a church that held forth the word of God in that dark, dark place. They were apprehended by Jesus, so that they would apprehend the Lord Jesus, so that the Lord Jesus would continue to apprehend others through them. I wonder how many of tonight recognize the name of John Landy. Does anybody know who John Landy was? Brother Scott would if he was here tonight. John Landy, for very good reason, is a national hero in Australia. He has the intriguing distinction of having not one, but two remarkable and famous bronze statues made of him. Worldwide, Landy is probably best known because he had a very important part in the mile race in the 1954 British Empire Commonwealth Games. It was in Vancouver, British Columbia, and he ran his second ever sub 4 mile. Now, I know people break the 4 mile barrier all the time now, but in those days, it was an amazing feat. He was running that race with the other fastest miler in the world by the name of Roger Bannister, who did break famously the 4 minute mile. It was called the Miracle Mile, this particular race. It was also called the Race of the Century. It was called the Dream Race. It was listened to by over 100 million people on the radio. Imagine listening to a race on the radio. I mean, what are you listening to? And he's going, and he's fast, and he's moving, and he's running. It was watched by millions more on television, and when television wasn't all that big back then. And what happened in this race is on the last lap, Landy was going to win. But in the last moment, he looked over to his left shoulder, and Roger Bannister passed him on the right. This bronze sculpture was made of those two men at the moment, created by a sculptor in Vancouver by the name of Jack Harmon, and the photograph was from the Vancouver Sun photographer. And so they made this sculpture of him looking over his shoulder. If you've seen the picture, there's a famous picture of him doing it as well. You might think that, because this stood all these decades now, that mistake and that loss and that humiliating sculpture might discourage Landy, or maybe start doing mind games with him, and he might even stop running, but not at all. When he first saw this statue, he said, you know, Lot's wife was turned to salt by looking back. I might be the only man that was turned to bronze by looking back. But he's famous for a second bronze statue, which is remarkable in itself, and that's this one here. In 1956, at Olympic Park in Melbourne, Landy prepared to run in the one-mile championships, Australian championships. Something happened. It all began when the man by the name of Ron Clark, he, by the way, was a young man. He would one day hold every world record, every single world record from 2 miles all the way to 20 kilometers. But a young man in this race, he crashed. He tripped on another man's ankle or heel, and he fell down into the cinders, and Landy, who was right there, had to leap over his body. He tried to jump over his body. There's another famous picture of that as well. And he didn't make it. He landed, actually, his cleats, his spikes, landed on the inside of Clark's arm. He pulled up, turned around, jogged back, reached down to Clark, who was still on the ground, apologized to him, asked him if he was hurt, helped him up, found out his injury wasn't too bad, helped him, encouraged him to keep running, and then Landy looked ahead. He was way behind, but he took off. He had about a lap and a half to go. At the bell lap, they said that he was barely running. He was practically leaping as he was going towards the end. And guess what? He won that race. That act cost him about 7 seconds. He finished that race in 4 minutes and 2 seconds. He would have set the all-time world record. He didn't just win the championship that day. He actually became a worldwide hero. To this day, it's still considered the greatest act of sportsmanship in the history of all athletics. I tell you these two stories as a simple reminder. And that simple reminder is what Paul says here, I press. Keep pressing on. If you fail and you're humiliated because in your race you make a dumb mistake and you look behind, or if someone in front of you trips up and it causes you to stumble or to be detoured or distracted, get up and keep pressing on. If you're discouraged, if the crowd is mocking you, the Bible says, running this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, you're looking unto the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. But do you hear what they're saying over there? No, but I hear what he's saying in here. Keep pressing on. The Lord Jesus grabbed a hold of you. He put you in this race. And now he wants you to run and press for the prize and the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember the story of the runner, the true story from Reader's Digest? I've told it many times here. Alabama, state champions. It was a race, high school. And they had one of the most famous runners in the nation, the fastest young man in the nation, was going to run. He was going to set the state title, win, break all the records, and the place was packed. Little teeny tiny school in Alabama didn't have a runner to send because their main runner got sick. So he asked some of his athletes there, who can run in this race? And one little scrawny guy said, I'll run in it, I guess, if nobody else would run. And you may remember the story. They ran the race. The famous guy in Alabama, the kid that everybody went there, all the press, the media were all there. He was going to set the record, the national high school record. And he did. He ran blazing speed. Had all kinds of scholarships waiting for him, and he won, and he set the record. And following far behind, when everybody was coming out on the track, following far behind was this little scrawny kid who his coach asked him, and he talked him into running in this race. And They said, get back up. The announcer literally had said, get off the track, get off the track. This kid wants to finish. He was way behind. He ran and he ran and he ran and he fell across the finish line. He wasn't a runner, wasn't a good runner. Bruised and scratched and bleeding, falling into the cinders. And some of the folks came up to him and said, son, why did you do that? Why did you didn't have a chance. And the young man said, well, sir, my coach, he didn't ask me to win the race. He asked me to run in the race. And if I'm going to run in it, I'm going to finish it. And in the paper, they had the big picture, of course, in his local town. They had the big picture of the state championship and the man, the young man who won. And it says something like, so-and-so sets the state record, national record. And then it had a picture of this scrawny little boy, and it said, local boy finishes race. And you know, the Lord is asking us to finish, to keep on running, to press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a life worth living, and this is a race worth running. He grabbed a hold of you. He took you out of a world of darkness and a path to hell and put you in a race for his honor and glory. Don't let the world distract you. Don't let the world discourage you. Keep on running. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the power of your word tonight, and we are thankful that there was a time when we were running headlong into eternal destruction. And by your mercy and by your grace, the voice of the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin and our lost condition. And you apprehended us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have put us in a race. And I pray, dear Father, that we will recognize that this is a glorious and a high calling. Help us, Father, to be convicted to the end that this race is for your honor and so that others may be apprehended. May this church recognize we're here as a beacon, as a light, holding forth your word of life so that others may be apprehended for your honor and your glory. Give us strength. Help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.